Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Earrings Off. We want to invite you to subscribe, rate, and leave us a review. You can find us on Facebook at Earrings Off Podcast and on Instagram at The Earrings Off Podcast.
Welcome to Earrings Off. I'm Lou.
And I'm Teresa.
Okay. Hi, Teresa. How are you today?
Hello, Lou. How are you?
I'm doing well, doing well. So listen, remember, we recently did an episode on homelessness. Mm-hmm. And we talked about a New York Times article, which was wonderful, which dealt with shelters and how the numbers, of course, for homelessness are the worst they've ever been in this country. Mm-hmm. And there are so many programs and initiatives in an effort to combat homelessness. But one thing that I heard about, and maybe it was from that actual article, was about homeless diversion initiatives. And of course, what that is, I mean, it's amazing how something, I shouldn't say so simple, that sort of should have been staring us in the face, because this is very common sense, but it's great stuff. So homeless diversion programs or initiatives designed to prevent individuals and families from entering homelessness or to rapidly rehouse them if they are already experiencing homelessness. So the first thought is not, can they get a bed in the shelter? Or what can we do to provide housing? It's how can we address this need from right. them even needing there? So right. the workers sort of hit the ground running and see what options may be out there. And of course, the goal is to, as I said, is to meet them at the front door and sort of put a block up, if you will, from them even entering into the shelter. So I thought that was pretty good.
Yeah, that is a great option. So I'm guessing, not I'm guessing. I mean, I just thought, like you, this is pretty common sense.
And right.
I think what happens is, you know, families are hesitant to seek out family support, right? That's what we learned in that previous article, which is probably why it wasn't or hasn't been the first choice.
Right. And what they found through various studies was that even if people are homeless, they stay in touch with their relatives and friends. So they're still in touch, which means there's a relationship there, okay? Mm-hmm. Still, mm-hmm. that they're trying to maintain even while dealing with being homeless. So just like you said, okay, the relationship is there, but then why is that hesitancy to, why are they hesitant to get in touch with people or to lean on, if you will, their network? And some of it is, like you say, you know, just maybe being embarrassed, or I would imagine, and what I've read is that some of them are in shock and don't really, you know, they're grieving and can't really believe this has happened and believing that they're going to come out of it or figure a way out of it. So that some of it is just the embarrassment of it and sort of going into crisis mode. How can I, you know, get out of this? You know,
well, I remember reading too that, you know, it really hits hard with men because of that feeling of not being able to provide for their families, right? When it's a family that includes the father, mother, and children, the husbands are hesitant because of that reason, right? And then, you know, you did mention, and the article, oh man, that was one of the, New York Times does such a great job. One of the people I remember was about a gentleman who didn't want his family to know. He did not keep in contact with them.
Right.
Because he didn't want them. He had been so successful In all accounts, he was one of the working homeless, remember? Who
Right.
still had transportation, but no place to live and couldn't because of that whole being evicted thing.
Right, which we know is a huge barrier.
Right.
So the homeless population, they're reluctant to get in touch with maybe their support network to ask for help. And like you said, Teresa, many of them have faced evictions. That's on their record, so they can't qualify for housing. But what these programs do, the diversion programs, which I think is brilliant, they serve as sort of the mediator. They innovate on behalf of the homeless person. They find out, okay, do you have a family member? And can we just talk to them? And many times, with family, they want to be able to help, but some of us are stretched thin already. And we hate the fact that our family member is homeless. But it's like one person said in the diversion program, I thought about, I don't want my sister to be homeless, but I don't have any resources. And if I take her in, then there'll be both of us on the street, and I have no hope of helping her because we'll both be in the same position. And so they're reluctant, not because they're selfish or don't care. They understand the very real consequences of them trying to reach out when they simply aren't stable enough to house someone.
Well, the good thing that I saw with this program too is that the program is able to offer some assistance, like
Yeah,
paying a bill or helping with the rent. So there are options there to be able to help out, if the family member agrees to bring on their homeless family members. So that's the positive thing about this diversion program. And it's like a temporary situation while they help the homeless family get back on their feet. In that
And
case, it's a win-win
it's a win.
if it's able to work out that way. A person is getting help with some bill or bills, and they're able to provide housing for their family member to keep them off the street.
And if the worker is able to intervene in a way where that person that's taking in a family member doesn't lose their benefits, or they're not negatively impacted. I thought that was certainly great for them to get involved. And many times you might find a compassionate landlord who will overlook an eviction or understand. And sometimes it just takes a person able to tell the story that they're willing to listen to. And unfortunately, many times it's not the homeless person, because there's that stigma. How did you end up homeless? That's your own fault. And that's not my issue to take on. But sometimes if you have a professional or someone compassionate telling the story, they're able to get through to that landlord or get through that to that person to say, you know what? This person's just had a bad break. They lost their job, or maybe they were sick, or whatever it may be. And they're willing to give that person a chance to come in and rent an apartment or to get housing.
Well, while you were speaking, this came to mind. I think one thing that we have to do is get back to community, right? And there are some cultures who they don't mind pulling up a sleeping bag and housing their entire
Teresa,
family.
that's so true.
You
That's so
know,
true.
and so we just really need to think about that, get beyond the shame of it all, and get back to community and start helping one another, right? And even if you think about it today, to address some of the loneliness that we've talked about that's in America, They're creating housing situations where it's based on community. There's a there the elderly, I think these houses were directed toward have a room, and then they share a community kitchen. They're able
Oh
to
yeah, there are a
they're
lot of those
able
popping up.
yeah they're able to work with share in preparing meals, TV watching, gaming, things to keep each other from being lonely, because community is everything. We have to
Yes.
get back to community. And that was a thought that came to mind as you were speaking. And I can reflect back on my aunt, my mom's sister, Aunt Rosa, who was my favorite aunt. But if any of my aunts are listening, I didn't say that. But Aunt Rosa was ahead of her time. I mean, there was in her community, nobody was on the street. I mean, and it I mean nobody. If somebody, I can remember her taking in a young pregnant girl whose parents threw her out because she was pregnant. I can remember a young man who came out as gay to his family, and they threw him out on the street. She took him in. I mean, she took everybody in, and she fed everybody, and she didn't have very many means. And one of the reasons why she was my favorite is because she also fed me during my college years.
Yes, I'm certain that was much appreciated. But
Oh yeah,
Teresa, what you
absolutely.
just said is so true. It's a cultural thing because I think I probably told you this before, but years ago, when you talk about your aunt being a compassionate and a vision, I believe I was a visionary. No one saw it. But anyway, years ago, when Nasheed and I were a young couple trying to find our way and all of that, and but looking forward to getting a house, we had a circle of friends, and I tried to pitch to them because we were all thinking about, okay, it's time we're going to get a house, and I tried to sell them on, let's just buy one house. If we buy one house and we get a bedroom, then we can, save money. This is going to help us. I saw businesses in our future, us being very financially stable. They were not, they thought, they looked at me like I'd grown two heads because they, I think in their minds, saw that as what kind of a message are we sending to people that we can't afford our own homes, or, there was that piece of it, I think. And just the, I need my privacy. I don't want to live with people. But I seriously, I tried to do a hard sale. It went nowhere.
Oh,
Be and
wow.
I think it was because of, like you say, our cultural biases of what we learn, that what's acceptable and what's not. Even, and another thing, when I thought about the homeless diversion programs, now, Teresa, you can't even, when you rent apartments, everybody in there has to be able to be on the lease and pay the rent. So, like years ago, when we used to have roommates and double up and split it, they don't do that anymore.
Is
And I
that
was,
right? I didn't know that.
I was shocked at that. And well, that's what's happening now. I don't know if it's across the board, but I do know that's a reality. And as a matter of fact, I spoke with someone this week who said, well, I've had a friend, and I spoke with someone this week who said their adult children, like when they were transitioning from one state to the other, wanted to stay with them for a while. And that's what we do, as parents. And, the office, the leasing office, is like, no, we can't have anyone in there unless they are included in the lease. And to be included in the lease, they have to be able to pay, a certain percentage, their percentage to pay for that
I
apartment.
wonder, with all the litigation and things that go on in the world now, if it's a liability thing for the
Well, yeah,
apartment.
I
I
didn't think
wonder,
about that.
because I can't fathom why they would care as long as they were getting their, it doesn't make
No,
the rent go up if you have
but
multiple people in there. I don't quite get it.
it might be.
Yeah.
And and some of it might be that. And like you say, I mean, people are very concerned about who's in their property.
Yeah.
The safety concerns as well. So, but yeah, it makes it very difficult when people are going through a difficult time if the community doesn't address it, and if we don't have policies in place. It's unfortunately, it could be pretty easy to slip into not having shelter, at least on a temporary basis.
Going back to your visionary days.
I'm telling you, nobody bought it though. I just thought it would be everybody would understand what I was saying. But no, nobody wanted that. And I like I said, I think part of it was that, you know what? We've been to college, we've graduated, we're doing well, and I don't want people to think the opposite, that I can't, that I'm not independent.
So this might be seen as privilege when we're speaking about homelessness, but it is a true story. I know a group of friends who pool their money together to buy a beach house. And it's three families, and
Same.
they bought it together. And so now, and they work out a calendar for when they use the place, and it's a great thing. I mean,
Well, Teresa, and you're right, that's very common. But like I said, no offense to you and your dear friends, they're not visionaries. When I was trying to do it was 40 years ago. So thus I was, even though it wasn't successful. Teresa, stop trying to take my shine, okay? Bringing up your little friends in the beach house.
let me tell you something. Let me tell you something. That's a you thing. Because that was not my intention.
So that's my own stuff.
Yeah, that's your own stuff.
I tell you, I applaud people who, when they're in jobs and they have responsibilities, who take a minute and think about, okay, what's the real issue here? It's not just that they don't have shelter. It's okay. There are some options out there that we haven't explored. And Teresa, what was fascinating was that in looking at the information on the diversion programs, they said the reason this is not explored more is because, agencies will lose their funding. It impacts their budget. If people are in the shelter, and if they don't have X number of people in the beds, so they're not rewarded for keeping them out, and so that requires a shift as well.
Okay, well, you've said a word there. I hope that if you're listening to this and you know someone and that are that someone that's in this situation, please share this information with them before they get to a program or have a need to consider, seeking out a family member, someone where they can share resources, especially if they're the working homeless, because think about that. You can, it might become very cost effective in that sense. It's going back to that vision that you had. So if you have a sister or a brother who has a home that you, someone might be able to share with them, they and they're working, but homeless, they might be able to pitch in and help with the bills. I mean, it would then be a win-win. So the thing is to divert homelessness before you need a diversion program, right? Because you know what? When it comes to these programs and the rules and things, sometimes they are limiting, and people are only able to do what they can do according to the rules and regulations that are set out. But sometimes you need flexibility. I mean, that what you just said is insane to me. Like they wouldn't help someone just because they might lose some funding because someone else is going to come along, you know?
And
That made
I'm
me
not
mad. I'm
suggesting
sorry.
they aren't helping, just that they are aware of the impact and that policies need to be changed. But folks, if you want more information on ending homelessness, you can go to ccceh.org, which which talks about the Connecticut Coalition to End Homelessness. They have some great information. As Teresa and I shared, you can also do a search for the New York Times, which talks about homelessness and diversion programs. So there's some great stuff happening out here, and it challenges all of us, as Teresa said, to remember to first to be the community that we should be, to get beyond our cultural sensitivities, to think about how we might be able to help, and also to listen to programs like these, to read, to understand what's happening so we can be a part of the solution. We encourage you to do that. That's it for us today here at Earrings Off. We wish you, as always, the very best.
Take good care.